Good morning. I am Skip LaCour. It's a brand new day, and this is our morning connection. So here we are Monday morning, the start of a new week. I always love the new week because regardless of what I've done in the past, whether you know I fell short of my disciplines, my standards weren't high enough, I have the new week to just wipe this slate clean mentally and get focused again. So I hope you're doing the same. You've got your goals, you've got your standards, you're forgetting about whatever happened in the past and making this week from this day forward. This is when you're going to really start making it happen. Again, regardless of what you've done in the past. Hey, today I want to comment on a topic that's really hot on the internet, and it's about fake natties. Fake natties. And that's people who claim to be natural drug-free bodybuilders and really aren't. And now, first of all, I just know that many of you who listen to this podcast, you know, competing and bodybuilding such hardcore, look at all this. That's not really what you're about. You're into the strategies to build muscle, lose body fat, all in the context of a productive, happy, what you're striving for, your idea of a balanced life. All right. So I know that there's just a few people who are really even interested, you know, in this topic in our circles, our community that we've developed. All right. But it's just interesting because there is a lot you can learn about, you know, life as you go for your goals in life. All right. So again, this is a hot topic on the internet. All the YouTube fitness experts seem to have addressed this at least once or twice. It's on Facebook. It's on all the social media circles. Everybody seems to be, you know, interested in this topic. And I just want to give you a short history lesson just so that you understand is that I started bodybuilding way back in 1989, just going to a gym. And then I competed in 1990. And that's really about when there became contests that you could enter that were drug-tested, drug-free contests, all right? So what is that? So 23 years, right? Before that time, there wasn't any clear distinction because I think it wasn't until, like, I don't know, 1988, 89, it was really before I started that steroids became a controlled substance. So before that, you know, people took steroids. It wasn't like some big deal. Like if you take steroids now, I mean, you're definitely crossing a line. It's a controlled substance. There are alternatives if you want to be a competitive bodybuilder to go the drug-free route with all the organizations. But I'm just giving you a history lesson what it's like. It was like back then. At that time, I wasn't a bodybuilder. I didn't really know anything about this whole lifestyle. But if you know my story, you know I worked in a grocery store since I was 19 years old, working my way up the chain of this grocery stores, and they had pharmacies. And it was a very common sight to see big muscular guys and cops, you know, policemen, you know, going back to the pharmacy and get their prescription for steroids. The doctors just used to do that. So again, the whole natural movement, I guess you would say, over the years, I've seen, the natural movement, whether it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or now. Like, this is the time, you know, this has been going on, you know, for at least, you know, 23 years. So that's just a little bit of lesson. Now, also at that time, there weren't contests for drug-free bodybuilders, and there was no publicity, and there was no internet. So the only bodybuilders that were in the magazines were, you know, the drug-enhanced bodybuilders. And again, there was not this big distinction anyway about it. So all the drug-free bodybuilders around the world pretty much just had to go on their own. The people that who they saw in the gym, who they thought were on drugs or not on drugs. But more than that is like what they believed they could achieve drug-free, right? It was, they didn't have the internet or magazines, all the social media to compare and contrast and to set goals with. So it was really a tough time at that time because nobody had any real idea what was possible, who to use as a mentor or inspiration to learn strategies from. It wasn't it wasn't like it is right now. And I remember the first Team Universe contest where they, you know, really promoted this is going to be a national drug tested show, that the range from what the bodybuilders look like, that was back in 1994, so we're talking close to 20 years ago. I mean, you had guys who looked just absolutely amazing all the way down. The range was just incredible. I mean, this contest does not, I mean, it must, I don't even know. There must have been like 400 competitors, right? But the range on the low end were guys that, I swear to God, they look like swimmers. And I'm not using that as a way when someone doesn't look that muscular, they're a swimmer. I mean, they really did. And they weren't tanned or painted or really anything. I don't even know how long they trained or even if they went to the gym on a consistent basis. That's how far the range of bodybuilders who enter this contest. And, you know, looking back, that's not surprising because, you know, you're in bodybuilding, you're assuming that everybody takes drugs, and you look at yourself and you look pretty good and everybody says, you look good. Well, I'm natural. And so you're going to enter this contest. All right. And it was that just a gigantic difference. I mean, there were people that, I mean, enter this contest, boy, you should even train. I don't know. They didn't even belong in any type of bodybuilding contest at all. I mean, again, the range was so wide, and it's understandable. Again, no one in the magazines, there was no Facebook to compare yourself to. You know, you would have to go to a local contest to see it, and how many people actually do that? All right. So, you know, and then from that time forward, that's been the fake natural. He's not really on drugs. I mean, that's been going on ever since that time. So this is definitely nothing new. All right. So just to let you know that, I mean, this subject comes all over, up over and over and over again. I've talked about it. I've written about it extensively. And, you know, boy, definitely have I got my share of criticism and accusations over the year. Yes, definitely I have. And, you know, I'll tell you something. When you go through something year after year after year, millions of times, it's easy to put things into perspective, right? I can understand everybody's point of view on this whole subject. I basically have, you know, I don't have any emotion tied to it. It isn't like something that just tears my heart when someone makes an accusation or whatever. I understand. I understand all issues, everybody's opinion about this issue. And that's what I want to talk about, what you can take away from this, all right? And let me just make it perfectly clear. Just like you, I have no idea who's drug-free and who's not drug-free, all right? You can't tell a person who has a strong work ethic and they're drug-free and their physique looks that way. You can have a guy whose work ethic is just mediocre and he can have amazing genetics. And he could be drug-free. You can have a guy who really doesn't know much, hasn't been training that long, and he may not even be that muscular, but he has amazing symmetry and just gets totally ripped and gives us just illusion of size. You know, someone who's really, quote-unquote, naturally talented, right? And he can be drug-free. You can also look at those same bodies, change some of the circumstances, and they could be using anything to help enhance getting bigger or getting more ripped. All those things create a higher quality physique. So you really don't know. And so I don't know, right? But here's the thing that you need to think about. It's about you. And I really believe that we all look at each other, and it's not so much about the other person. It's about how does that make us feel about our life? Does that inspire us to go to the next level? Does that discourage us to go to the next level? Does it, you know, it's just we use other people and their stories, you know, as a way to evaluate ourselves. And so I'm not going to, you know, look, my opinion of doing this for so many years, look, I've gone through all the things. I told you stories about how some guy was squatting 315 pounds within my first year of training, and I was going, Freud boy, right? I did all that. All right. I'm glad that I broke out of that and demanded more and more out of myself. I didn't quit. you know, I continue this because the more years you put in, you're going to get better. Maybe not, certainly not at the rate as any drug enhanced bodybuilder with the same work ethic and the same genetics. All right. But I think that should go without even being stated. The point, though, that I'm trying to make with you is, hey, you have your opinion to believe whoever is natural or not natural. That's definitely your opinion. But just remember, be careful who you choose. Choose wisely. Because if you've been training for a couple years or a couple months, and then you make the distinction that, hey, that guy on YouTube, there is no way he's drug-free, right? A couple things are going to happen, both mentally and physically. Number one is physically, to be motivated, to drive yourself hard, to ever become better than that guy, you're making this determination after a couple months of training that there is no way this guy is drug-free. Okay, when you make that determination with really, just like me, after, you know, 315, like that was an 800-pound squat or something like that. If you make that decision, all you're doing is slowing down the process where you could break through that barrier. You're creating a barrier for yourself. You're basically telling yourself, again, forget about other people. Forget about that so-called fake natural. You, let's talk about you. These podcasts are all about helping you get what you want in life. All right? You're creating a ceiling for yourself. You're saying to yourself that you can't get that good naturally. And you're making that decision after 2 months of training. So believe it or not, it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher for you to surprise yourself and do what it takes to develop even close to that. You know, I wrote an article many years ago, and I called it driving with the parking brake on. It's like you really, really want to look better than that guy. You just don't believe that that can happen at the 2 month point or whatever, right? But you really want to, you want to look that good or better. You love this, right? And you're driving in that direction. You're going to the gym every day. You're eating your meals. You're doing the discipline. You're making the sacrifices. But you got that parking brake on while you're trying to move forward. You may eventually get there, and I hope to God that you get there. I hope all of your goals and dreams do come true, all right? But you're definitely making it tougher for yourself by making that distinction so early in the process, who, if that physique is achievable or not, okay? Now, there's a downside if you say to some guy that, hey, wow, I can achieve that too, and he is a fake natural. You could be setting yourself up for disappointment, failure, frustration, overwhelm. Let me ask you a question. Don't you kind of feel that way anyway, that take the other person, the fake natural, whatever, out of the equation? Isn't your journey filled with frustration, overwhelm, and confusion, always wanting more, wondering if you're doing well enough anyway? Do you really think by telling yourself you can't achieve that status drug-free, do you think that's really making things easier for you? Maybe in the short term, but really you're still going to have to deal with, you know, the whole journey that we all go through. No matter what we've accomplished in life, we're always going to want more. Right, so you just need to be really careful, you know, who you make that distinction for. Look, I'm not going to speak for anybody. I'm not going to vouch for people I don't know. I mean, look, again, from what I've gone through, a lot of these people that people are claiming that are fake naturals, I have no problem whatsoever believing they're natural. From my experience, my observations doing around the country at guest posing appearances at drug-free contests around the globe. A lot of these guys, these younger 21-year-old, 25-year-old YouTube videos that are being, you know, they're being accused of being fake naturals. I have no problem believing that they're naturals. But again, I don't know. I have no friggin' idea. And it's interesting, a couple things are interesting to me about this whole topic, is that number one is I see so many guys who have outstanding physiques, And, you know, they talk about their drug-free status. They look amazing. I mean, I have a lot of respect for them. But it's interesting how, in these same guys with these awesome drug-free physiques, they're just talking about all the fake naturals out there. And this is nothing new. I've seen this many times through many personal conversations with other natural bodybuilders in this position for years, right? It's just interesting to me how they can achieve such an outstanding level themselves, yet be so insulated to the fact that, do they think that everybody believes they're really drug-free with a physique like that? So that's what blows my mind. It makes more sense to me, a guy who doesn't really have that great a physique, all right, who is saying that. But some, you know, the thing that really puzzles me are these guys with awesome physiques talking about fake naturals. And just because they say, I'm natural. Just because they say that over and over again, and because they are, just say natural, and maybe their friends and family believe that, how they can just go so public and assume that everybody else believes that. That's interesting to me. But anyway, the point is, just be careful who you choose, because you're dictating your future by what you believe is achievable. Here's the other thing. Now, I am not a big Bible guy. Let me just tell you this. So I'm going to probably screw up this whole verse in the Bible. But I know it's the one that says, ye should not judge other people, or thy be judged, whatever it is. I'm sure there's a Bible expert can tell me that. And someone explained to me what that meant. It wasn't about don't judge other people, it's not nice. That isn't the message. The message is, when you judge other people, it can't help but in your back of the mind, you're going to assume that everybody is judging you the same way. Because the way we think, it makes sense to us, right? And we assume a lot of times that everybody thinks the way that we do. So when you criticize other people, right, and you get with all your buddies and that's all you do is talk about, you have great discussions about all of this, you know, you're not going to help but think, when you achieve a certain level, that people are going to be talking about you with the same passion and disdain and disgust that you're talking about other people. You're going to assume, when you get good enough, that people are going to talk about you that way, because how could they not? You're a sensible person. You have great judgment. You have a great eye for what is and isn't possible, right? And now you've achieved this certain level. What, you think that, do you really think just because you say it over and over and over again on your YouTube channel, on your Facebook post, that everybody's going to believe you when 3 years before all you talked about was everybody who is a fake natural lying about their drug-free status? Again, it's driving with a parking brake on, and that happens both in the gym and in your head. Trust me on that one, all right? And again, the bigger thing is in life. Let's just talk about something that maybe a lot of people value or they want to value, and that's creating wealth, right? If you believe, you see a guy your age, just say you're 25 years old, and he's created a company, and he's making a lot of money, and he has the ability to have a lot of options, you know, whatever is important to him, cars, houses, home, taking care of his family or whatever, right? And he's your age. If you assume that, well, he cheated the system, or he got his family money, or whatever you want to say to knock down his achievements on a, execution basis, right? You are just making it harder for yourself to ever attain that kind of wealth, because you're just going to, it's going to be in the back of your mind as you're working towards work, and this is so hard. Boy, I wish I had money. Or good thing I'm not a cheater like Joe. That's how he made his money. That's how he started his company, right? And then I tell you, you're just making it harder on yourself. And then when you do, just say you break through, You know, people, it's a quality that people need the approval of other people. Now, some people need it more than others. I mean, you just look on social media, all the talk about haters. I love the haters motivate me, all this. It's so outwardly driven what other people think. And I really think that in a lot of ways, that is just a human type condition. We all need to be liked. Some people need it more than others. Okay? And so when you think that you're disconnecting from other people with your success, and if you have a higher desire to worry about, or the you believe that what other people think about you is important, no matter if you tell yourself that isn't true, and it is, as you achieve that wealth, that success, and you spend all those years talking about, you know, the liars and the cheaters who achieved wealth, who just had family money, who were lucky, and just say you broke through all that, and you've discovered, hey, there's no luck about this. I've just put in my time and my work. And then you start achieving that success. You're going to remember the way all that passion and disdain and disgust, that how you felt about that guy who achieved that success in his business and money and options as you are. And if you've got this need to be liked by other people, it's going to really make your success miserable. All right. So I want to make this, God, you know, I'll tell you, is I love bodybuilding training, but I love life even more. So this conversation, you know, started about talking about fake naturals and whatever, but it's really about life. Think about that when you want something, how you view that person who has achieved the level that you want, right? Who you pick up as role models, all right? And it's really important. Are you going to pick the role model who has something like your, and again, let's take it out of the gym and let's talk about wealth or family or, you know, another thing is like relationships, deep, connected, loving relationships, a family, a wife, a girlfriend. And you've got these opinions. You say that, oh, that's impossible, or they're not, that type of life isn't possible for me, right? And you say you do whatever you can to knock down what may appear like success, it's going to be a real hard time you achieving that family, that relationship, that wealth, that business. You're just making a lot harder on yourself. So, you know, I can't make that determination. I can't make the determination who you should believe is a real natural bodybuilder. I can't make that determination how much money you can make ethically, keeping family first or whatever your values are first, without, you know, family money to help you. I can't help you find that role model of what is and isn't possible for you. I can't come to you and say, hey, you can get a woman like this, this, and this that can just make your life so wonderful, and relationships can be good and solid and just totally enhance your life. And, you know, all women aren't bitches, or, you know, a family isn't a ball and chain or whatever, you know, when you look at other people. I can't tell you who you should pick out as role models or mentors or examples of the success that you want in any area of your life. You have to do that yourself. All I'm just saying is choose wisely. Choose wisely. Really think about that decision, because you're sealing your fate in a lot of ways. You're going to create a limit to you. And again, the physical ways, the strategy angle, you know, when times get tough, is it real? Am I really able to have that body, that business, that amount of money, that relationship? Because it's going to get tough. Anything worth having in life, it's going to get tough. All right. And then even if you're lucky enough to break through that those mental barriers and really achieve that level of success with your body, with your business, with the amount of money, in your relationships, you're going to remember back in the days where you were just so harsh on other people who have achieved what you finally achieved. And it's going to really make that experience miserable. And I see that all the time. I see this, God, on the internet all the time. All these people, they've achieved a certain level of success. But all they talk about is the haters, haters, haters. And I'm just thinking, God, first of all, I'm looking at them going, hey, good for you. Right on, man. You know, you inspire me. And to me, because I look at them that way, I'm thinking, what? Haters? I guess everybody has them. Why are you focusing on this? You're doing an amazing job. They have that in their mind, all that bullshit that everybody's saying. And I'm not saying people are not saying that. But again, there's a lot of people who aren't. And you need to focus on those people who really believe in you and support your dreams. So, I don't know, kind of a ramble. Probably definitely not the angle that all the YouTube guys or whatever is talking about. And again, just to put my two cents again, let me reiterate from their angle. I have no idea who's drug free or not. You would have to follow them around, you know, 24 hours a day to really know that for sure. Again, my personal opinion, a lot of these guys who a lot of people think there's no way that person's natural, I don't have a hard time believing that. And there's a lot of reasons as far as, but you know, one thing I've done is that I don't make excuses for being amazing. You know what I mean? Because I was about to talk about, you need to understand that when it's their structure and their shape, and that can give the illusion of size, especially in the right photo or the video, and they only put the right photos there, and if they're lean enough, and it cast off this, and if they've got, you know, smaller waist and wide shoulders, and they have a muscle part, like a bicep or a shoulder that's just rounder than the others, you know. But I've given up making excuses for being awesome a long time ago. You know, you see that. That's another thing you see a lot of natural bodybuilders. I'm a twink. I'm not really that big. You shouldn't think that I'm really not drug-free. Look at me. Look at here. Look at this horrible picture of myself. And, I mean, that's defeating the purpose, you know, too, when you spend so much time pointing out your weaknesses because you're so worried about what other people think about you. All right. Anyway. Like I said, different angle on this whole fake natty subject. But again, something that you can take out of it for your life. And way, way more than just bodybuilding and training. Way, way more than your physique. More than just muscles. Your man formation. Just a way to look at life. I hope you found value in that. So that's our morning connection. I will talk to you again tomorrow morning. Have a great day.